Let's read together Psalms 108 and 109. Psalm 108 is a prayer of praise to the Lord for his faithfulness and a petition to the Lord for deliverance. And then Psalm 109 is an imprecatory psalm and sometimes called the king of the imprecatory psalms. Let's begin by reading the first six verses of Psalm 108. O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise even with my soul. Awake, lute and harp, I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand, and hear me, or answer me. Let's begin our study of Psalm 108 with some background notes. If this psalm of David sounds familiar to you, don't be surprised. It is actually very similar to parts of two of David's other psalms that we've already studied. Verses 1 through 5 are virtually identical to the second half of Psalm 57, and verses 6 through 13 are virtually identical to the second half of Psalm 60. Most likely, this combination was made for liturgical purposes well after David's death for use in temple worship, and is now Psalm 108 in the completed book of Psalms. The first half of Psalm 108 is praise, and the second half is petition. But notice that overall it is a prayer. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 108. It is right for the Lord's people to pray with praise and confident trust. It is right for the Lord's people to pray with praise and confident trust. In verse 1, we see that David is determined to praise the Lord, starting in the early morning of each day. Verse 2. What a rebuke to most of us. We praise the Lord when we're in the mood or only on Sundays. Let's be more like David. In verse 3, we see that David was determined to praise the Lord in public with singing and music. Praise songs are good and helpful and motivate us to praise the Lord. We should follow David's example in verse 4 and praise the Lord for his loyal love and faithfulness and truth. David realized in verses 5 and 6 that if the Lord is glorified by his people, then his people will be delivered and prosper. This is the divine trickle-down effect. Verses 7 through 9 are prophetic of the Lord's coming earthly kingdom when he returns. Let's read these verses. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. Over Philistia I will triumph. Restored Israel at that time will include all that was given to them under the Abrahamic covenant, and all of Israel's enemies, past, present, and future, will be subdued. As we read these verses, did you notice that David is relating what God himself had said? In verses 10 and 11, we see that David is wondering how he will defeat Edom in his own day. Verses 10 and 11, who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, who cast us off, and you, O God, who did not go out with our armies? Edom seemed to be so well protected in their rock fortress capital city of Petra, and furthermore, Israel's armies had suffered some defeats. But in verses 12 and 13, David's confidence returns as he realizes that it is not Israel's armies that brought victory, but Israel's warrior, namely the Lord himself. Verses 12 and 13, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. We too can pray for the Lord's deliverance with confident trust. It is right for the Lord's people to pray with praise and confident trust. Practical application for Psalm 108. Distinguish between repetition and repeating truth. Distinguish between repetition and repeating truth. Does the fact that Psalm 108 repeats parts of two former psalms, go against Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, where the Lord said, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do." Answer, no, obviously not. Vain repetition is continuously repeating a phrase in a wrong way to invoke God's favor or induce some spiritual altered conscious state. Repeating biblical truths in our prayers and songs is not vain repetition. It is worship. If there is true worship of the Lord in our hearts, then repeating similar prayers and singing the same old hymns obviously is not vain repetition. Even though some unbelievers and religious skeptics may accuse us of just going through religious motions, distinguish between repetition and repeating truth. Let's continue reading the first five verses of Psalm 109. "Do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love." Let's begin our study of Psalm 109 with some background notes. We see in these first five verses of Psalm 109 that David had shown love to some group of people who are not identified, but they had responded with hatred and slander. Now David calls on the Lord for vindication and judgment on these enemies in the rest of the psalm. Thus, Psalm 109 is one of the imprecatory psalms. To imprecate means to curse. Now, it's important to note at this point that David does not take matters into his own hands and take revenge, even though he could easily have done so as king. No, David turns it over to the Lord, and that is what we should do as well. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Romans 12, 19. But now, what about the specifics of David's imprecatory prayer in verses 6 through 29? Well, that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 109. It is not wrong for the Lord's people to pray that people will reap what they have sown. It is not wrong for the Lord's people to pray that people will reap what they have sown. Now, as we read verses 6 through 29, notice how this biblical principle is emphasized in David's prayer. David prays that the leader of this ungodly opposition will reap what he has sown. Verses 6 through 29. "Set a wicked man over him, and let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children continually be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also from their desolate places. Let their creditor seize all that he has, and let strangers plunder his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy to him, nor let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be continually before the Lord, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because he did not remember to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing as with his garment, so let it enter his body like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him like the garment which covers him, and for a belt with which he girds himself continually. Let this be the Lord's reward to my accusers, and to those who speak evil against my person. But you, O God, the Lord, deal with me for your name's sake, because your mercy is good. Deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow when it lengthens. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh is feeble from lack of fatness. I have also become a reproach to them When they look at me, they shake their heads. Help me, O my God. O save me according to your mercy, that they may know that this is your hand, and that you, Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you bless. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let your servant rejoice. Let my accusers be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own disgrace as with a mantle. So we see in these verses that David is not praying that he will be able to get personal revenge concerning this evil person who has turned many against the king, but he is rather praying that this wicked man will reap what he has sown. Verse 8, which says, "Let another take his office," is quoted in Acts chapter 1, verse 20, in reference to Judas, who betrayed the greater David, the rightful king, the Lord himself. Thus, Psalm 109 is messianic, and the terrible mistreatment of David is typical of the mistreatment of our Lord. In verses 9 and 10, David is not praying that judgment be extended to the evil man's wife and children for something they had not done. No. The point is that when God judged this wicked one and he reaped what he had sown, the family would certainly be affected, as it always is. Verse 14 seems to indicate that some specific sin of this evil man's parents had a lot to do with his wicked treatment of David. David left that in the hands of God for judgment as well. Now, what about imprecatory praying today? Didn't the Lord command that we should love our enemies and pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44? Yes, and we should pray for them for their salvation and be willing to forgive. But we don't pray for God's moral standards to be lowered. And we don't pray that God would sweep sin under the rug. And we don't pray that people would not reap what they had sown. We pray that God's righteous standards and truth would be maintained. It is not wrong for the Lord's people to pray that people will reap what they have sown. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1 that if anyone distorted the truth of God's gospel, let him be accursed. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that whoever does not love the Lord should be accursed. 1 Corinthians 16, 22. It is not wrong for the Lord's people to pray that people will reap what they have sown. And that brings us now to practical application for Psalm 109. Don't let your prayers for God's righteous judgment take away from your praise. Don't let your prayers for God's righteous judgment take away from your praise. Verses 30 and 31. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him among the multitude. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those who condemn him. David ends his imprecatory prayer with praise, and so should we. It's very easy when we're praying for God's judgment on the Hitlers and abortionists and corrupt politicians and those committing heinous crimes to take our eyes off the Lord and taper off in our praise. That would not be good. Don't let your prayers for God's righteous judgment take away from your praise.